You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with your text messages and your voicemails. We'd love to hear from you. Bowling with Bobby Portis tickets are on sale right now. Go to eventbrite.com or facebook.com/LockedOnShibles to get your tickets today. We're selling general admission and VIP tickets. Bowling with Bobby Portis, Saturday, September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. at King's Dining Entertainment. It's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun, so we want to see as many of you there. So buy your tickets today. Do not wait. They're going to go fast. Once again, Bowling with Bobby Portis, eventbrite.com. Search Locked On Bulls or Bowling with Bobby. You'll be able to find your tickets there, as well as Facebook or Twitter, two other easy places to grab your tickets. So do that today. Do not wait. So we're going to look forward to seeing you there next weekend.
Absolutely. And on that note, a quick shout out to one of our friends of the pod, Wesley, who's been helping us promote the event on Instagram. Wesley's got a great follow on Instagram for Bulls fans. Be sure to check him out at Chicago Bulls Central on Instagram for the best Bulls content on the app. You'll find daily Bulls updates, rumors, stats, great graphics, anything else Bulls related. Once again, that's at Chicago Bulls Central. Shout out to Wesley, and we're hoping he can be with us at that event as well. Bowling with Bobby, a week and change away. Getting excited, man. You working on your game right now, Jordan?
You know it. You absolutely know it. With that, we're here to do a shorter version of our episodes today. We want to take some of the voicemails and text messages that. So we're going to do that on today's episode. So why don't we just start it right off the bat? Let's start with our first voicemail.
Hey, Matt and Jordan. My name is Seamus. I'm from Florida. Huge Bulls fan, lifelong fan. I have two things. My girlfriend's name is Lauren, and when the iPhone gives you the suggested words to text, whenever I type in L-A-U, it says Lowry before Lauren. Is that an issue, or is that okay? That was my first one. My second one is, I think that Zach LaVine is the biggest difference maker on this team. Lauri Markkanen is the best player in my eyes. He should be the face of the franchise. Going forward, if he continues on the path that he's on, we know what we're getting from him. Chris Dunn, he's never going to be a superstar. At best, he might be, you know, an all-star once or twice. But again, we know what we're getting out of him for the most part. Wendell Carter Jr. looks solid. Looks like he's going to be a rock on our team in the low post for years to come. But he's solid. We know what we're going to get from him. Jabari, I'm not even going to go into that because hopefully he's only here for a year. But LaVine, he's the biggest question mark. We don't know what we're going to get from him. We don't know where it's going to go. He could, you know, in 3 years, he could be on a bargain contract. Or in 3 years, he could be on the worst contract in the NBA. And I think in 3 years, depending where he's at, because we know where the other guys are going to be at, he's the guy who can make or break us as a top elite team in the East in 3 to 4 years. Let me know what you think. I love the show. Keep it up, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call, Seamus. So, Matt, two-part question here. This is pretty funny, actually. I've noticed this. My phone's done the same thing. When you go to type in stuff, a lot of Bulls players end up coming up as the first key option in my keyboard because Apple's weird that way, and they have the help text on there where it helps, like, you finish your sentences.
Yeah.
I find this happens all the time. So that's pretty funny that that happens. If I were you, I wouldn't tell your girlfriend about that. And if she notices
might,
it...
She might take it the wrong way. But, yeah, Seamus, you're not alone. I think 75 to 80% of my, you know, smartphone fill-in-the-blank auto guesses on the next word or halfway through a word are Bulls-related. Because that's just how often I'm typing about the Bulls into my phone. And I also think that, like, even if his girlfriend did find out, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world that, oh, when he, you know, is typing into his phone and starts with L-A-U, it spells out Lowry instead of Lauren. Because, honestly, and it sounds like this is a pretty long-term girlfriend that Seamus is talking about here, not necessarily a new girlfriend. How many guys call their girlfriend by their name when they're texting them, right? Everybody has, like, pet nicknames for their significant other or just, hey, or, hey, what's up, it's me. It's not like if this is a long-term girlfriend, he's texting you like, hello, Lauren, how are you, Lauren? That just seems weird to me, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. And I feel like the only time if I was to be called by my actual name, then I was in trouble. So I feel like at that point, I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Significant others and parental figures is when you actually get called by your name.
To his second point, though, very, very good point. Zach LaVine being this marquee kind of unknown still with this team. And I think you can even extend that to three or four other guys on this team. Like Lowry, yeah, you know what he has, and Chris Dunn too. But you can extend this out to guys like Jabari and Wendell Carter Jr. too. Those are two guys that you don't really know what you're getting. Like, we saw what Wendell Carter Jr. can do in the summer league. But like I've said when we were watching him back in July, it's like, I want to take that with a grain of salt. I know he's going to be good, but don't set the expectations too high because you don't want to be disappointed this year. You don't want to put too much pressure on him. Again, he's the number 7 pick in the draft. So I would say there's a little bit of unknown with Wendell Carter Jr., but I feel like not as much as maybe with Zach LaVine. And I think, first and foremost, for me, it's the ACL. Like, every video I've seen of him on Instagram working out this summer, it seems like he hasn't skipped a beat as far as that ACL, and it seems like it's intact and repaired. I think he's right, though. If Zach LaVine ends up being a 20-plus points scorer per night and a guy that's going to grab you 6 or 7 rebounds and pass the ball at 4 or 5 assists a game, he could be the X factor on this team to really accelerate this season, this year. And I think he's right about being the most unknown. And maybe you could toss that up to Jabari Parker, too. But Zach LaVine's going to be here long term, and you want him to hit
right
as soon as possible.
Yeah. So when the first part of Seamus's voicemail here, I raised my eyebrow when he said he thinks LaVine is going to be the biggest difference maker, because I wasn't sure that was necessarily the right phrase or the right descriptor for him. And then as he's finishing up his point, he doesn't use the word different, the phrase difference maker. He says question mark. I think that's more accurate because to me, the word I would use is biggest variable. As far as what you're talking about with what you're going to get from each of these young Bulls players in year two of the rebuild. And he touched on all of them. You mentioned Jabari. I think Jabari is just as much of a question mark as Zach LaVine, but he is not a guy that you've invested 4 years and nearly $80 million in. You have, at maximum, invested 1 year and $20 million in Jabari Parker. So as far as the importance of this rebuild moving forward, I think Zach LaVine is more important than Jabari Parker, and Zach LaVine, of those pieces that we believe will be here long-term, is the biggest unknown, the biggest variable, or as Seamus said, the biggest question mark, because I think he just has the widest range of how good he can be for this team and the amount of damage he can do to this team, if you're talking about, and you were saying this on Sports Feed when we stopped by earlier this week, you're all aboard the Zach LaVine train. You think he's going to come out and have a huge, awesome season. I'm not quite there yet. And as far as whether or not LaVine is a net positive for this Bulls team this season will have a lot to do with how much he tries and how much, if at all, he improves on the defensive end while hopefully being an explosive scorer on the offensive end. We don't know that. It's a much bigger question mark and a much bigger unknown than Chris Dunn, who I think has a smaller window of what he'll give you this season. Same thing with Markkanen, same thing with Wendell Carter.
Yeah, I'm curious. Those two guys, Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine, I mean, imagine it. Like, we've talked about the skepticism and, like, what happens if this doesn't work, but what happens if this does work? Like, what does that look like? What does a Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker playing at their max potential necessarily look like? And I think, to me, it's two guys that can score you 20 points or more a game, two guys that's late in the stretch. Like I'm thinking about closeout games in the fourth quarter. If you've got Dunn, LaVine, Parker, Markkanen, and Carter on the floor, those are all five guys can hit three-pointers. All five of those guys can score. So if this thing works, and especially early, like, that's an exciting closeout lineup. To me, I mean, I'm part of the fan group that I feel like LaVine, like you said, I live and die on the hill of LaVine because I feel like he's going to still be a good player. And people, I think, have put him under a microscope. When he returned in February and all the way up to this point now, because he didn't come back and completely light it on fire in the last 2 months of the season, I feel like that's why people are a little bit down on LaVine. And then on top of it, it was the 4-year, $78 million contract for basically not paying him for anything, really just paying him for future production, which I was cool with too. And $19.5 million, I feel like Bulls fans that are skeptical about this contract, they're going to find out soon enough that $19.5 million per season over the next 4 years is actually not all that bad, even if LaVine doesn't get to the all-star level potential, but he's still good. Like, that's still a good value contract.
It's a lot of money to pay a player who's just good and not above average or great. And I'm going to gloss right past the part where you listed Dunn among the guys to close out a game and said that all of those guys can hit three-pointers, because that's silly.
I mean, Dunn's 33% last year from three, and he shot 42% in the corner threes. So to completely eliminate him as a guy that can't shoot threes, that's
no. Mistaken. I'm not eliminating him entirely in that regard. I'm just saying, compared to some of the other guys around him. And you also said recently that you're really high on the fact that LaVine's going to be a pretty dangerous three-point shooting weapon this season as well. That is another one where I hope you're right. I hope you're right about that. I just don't know. And shot selection is a concern.
Watching LaVine's game last year, in the 25 games he played with the Bulls, like, a lot of those came off the dribble, were him trying to create a three-point shot, and most of the time those were contested shots that you were like...
Contested.
Should he be taking that?
Yeah. And meanwhile, Markkanen was on the block with a mismatch on him, and we're just like, let's watch Zach LaVine jack up his three.
Well, I think he's going to get better at this year, and he's gonna have to understand that. Like, all five of these guys that are going to be out on the floor for the majority of the time got to understand you've got other teammates that can shoot too. So I think it's going to be weird, it's going to be different, and it's going to be interesting at the beginning of this season to see how these guys try to figure things out.
And that's where I think Seamus is right. He's LaVine this season and moving forward for the rebuild is the biggest variable, the biggest question mark as far as how bad might he be and how great might he be. And we're all just crossing our fingers and hoping that it's more towards the latter than the former.
All I got to say is, if you think Devin Booker is really good and you're on the opposite side of Zach LaVine, then you're...
I thought we were done with Devin Booker.
Nope. I'm going to continue to make that comparison all season long because it's not that far off. And I hope other Bulls fans believe me out there when I say that. Go look at his stats.
Well, We'll look at Devin Booker's stats in the 18-19 season when it's come to an end, and we'll compare him to Levine's, and hopefully we're happy about them.
We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're taking more voicemails and more text messages. Hit us up, 331-979-1369. You can hit us up on Twitter, too, at Locked On Bulls. Get your tickets to Bowling with Bobby Portis, eventbrite.com. Search Locked On Bulls or Bowling with Bobby. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on Thursday, August 30th. And before we dive back into our next mailbag topic, we want to give a quick shout out to King's Dining and Entertainment at 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in the heart of Lincoln Park on the north side of Chicago. It is our Bowling with Bobby headquarters. It should be your football headquarters all season long. 222-foot bar, the longest bar in the city of Chicago. That's right. A full-service restaurant and over 50 HD TVs, not to mention the 16 pristine bowling lanes that were requested specifically by none other than Bobby Portis. 4 billiard tables, air hockey, darts, and so much more. A great venue. We are excited to hang out there next weekend. And with that, let's pay a visit to one of our faithful Facebook friends, Tiago, who has a pretty fun would you rather. Well, I don't know if fun is the right word, but a pretty interesting would you rather type question for us, Jordan. Tiago says, "Hey guys, I got a question for you with a cruel version of would you rather. Three options. Assuming the current roster, who would you rather see playing over 28 minutes a night? Campaign at point guard, Justin Holiday at small forward, Jabari Parker at power forward, Cristiano Felicio at center." I think there's a pretty like logical breakdown of how I would rank those. What about you?
I wish you would have taken Parker out of there and thrown like Portis or Hutchison in there, because I think the clear-cut answer here is Jabari Parker at 28 minutes a night.
But it's at the specific position.
At power forward.
So you'd be cool with Jabari playing bare minimum 28 of his, I don't know, maybe 32 or 33 minutes a night at power forward as opposed to the wing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's like what we've been clamoring for the entire time. I know it's going to take away minutes from Markkanen playing the four.
So you're talking about more than half of the game's 48 minutes at the four being taken by Jabari Parker instead of a combination of Lauri Markkanen and Bobby Portis.
I mean, yeah. I mean, do you want to watch Cameron Payne play for 28 minutes a night?
Well, no, but I'm saying
Cristiano Felicio, 28 minutes a night?
No. Tiago's right. This is a cruel hypothetical. I don't want any of that. So, I mean, in these hypothetical situations, if Campaign is playing more than 28 minutes a night, that means Chris Dunn got hurt, and I don't want to see that. I am really looking forward to a fully healthy season from Chris Dunn, where he continues to look like one of the better defensive guards in the league and hopefully improves a little bit of that outside shooting and, most importantly, improves finishing at the rim. So if Campaign's playing 28-plus a night, that means something bad happened to Dunn, and I would not want that. Holiday playing nearly 30 minutes a night at small forward, that would mean the Jabari at small forward experiment went horribly wrong, and that Chandler Hutchison and or Denzel Valentine are either hurt or apparently not worth playing ahead of Justin Holiday, who has no future with this team. That's another awful hypothetical scenario. And then Felicio getting nearly 30 minutes a night means like Rolo and Wendell Carter Jr. both got hurt. Or, and I guess in this hypothetical, maybe they find a trade partner for Rolo. I don't know. Either way, I don't like any of this. I don't. Tiago, you're mean, and I don't like any of these hypotheticals.
One thing to talk about really quick. Yeah, if Parker's playing the power forward position, then I would assume Markkanen moves over to the five, and then Wendell Carter Jr. is coming off the bench with Bobby Portis in their front court. So that's not too bad. Like, that's fine. If that's what they're going to do, like we know, the Bulls front office has said multiple times that they see Lowry as a future five in this league, not a future four. So if they wanted to make that, shift in that transition this year, kind of makes sense to do it earlier rather than later while you're still trying to figure out what this team is.
Yeah, but do you really want that, though? Do you really want that, Jordan? Or do you want Lowry to continue working towards being one of the best fours in the league? Because that's what I want.
It's two different things.
You just drafted Wendell. That's the hopeful front court of the future, right? Markkanen and Wendell, with Wendell at the five and Lowry at the four.
Right, and I don't think necessarily the Bulls thought that they were going to get a guy that was like Wendell Carter Jr. That probably wasn't their first option. So maybe it has changed their mindset on Markkanen a little bit, saying, okay, if Carter actually lives up to his potential and he is a quality starting center in this league and could potentially be an all-star, then maybe it does change the plans as far as Markkanen's future goes, which position he's going to play. Regardless, I don't think necessarily it matters that much in this NBA anymore, depending on where you're playing power forward or center. To me, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of, I've gone to more so positionalist basketball, and you've seen a lot of teams do this before. So to me, it's not really that big of a worry. And I always like to put it in the mindset of what actually is going to happen versus what I actually want to happen. And right now, what I understand is Markkanen is what the front office feels can be a future center in this league. And the way that they want to play fast and more of a small ball style, more athletic, that makes sense. And if Parker really does struggle at the three, I don't want to watch him struggle all year long. Like, I'd at least want to see something out of him. Something. Whether that means he gains trade value, whether that means he finds a way to turn it around if they have to move him from positions, and all of a sudden he looks like a better player at the four than he was at the three. Like, there's a bunch of different things that can go into this. But yeah, I think ultimately who's hurt by this, if Parker does play the four for an extended amount of minutes this season, like we've talked about before, it's Portis and it's probably Carter. And that would make me feel like they need to move Robin Lopez sooner rather than later.
And, you know, we've said it before, that's, you know, easier said than done. Unless they can find a trade where they need to be the third team to facilitate a trade that's really going on between two other teams, because Lopez doesn't have the kind of value where you can get a draft pick for him.
He's got zero value,
like,
man.
Like, maybe.
He's got zero trade
maybe
value.
Maybe a second round pick, but even that, I doubt. He's not on a terrible contract, and it is an expiring contract, but I just like the market value for centers like Rolo right now, and this is no disrespect to him. He's a solid, solid player. It's just at an all-time low. It's non-existent. So I don't know how those minutes are going to shake out, and if Jabari at some point this season is getting 28 would be a significant majority of his minutes at power forward instead of small forward, that's going to be some kind of minutes crunch on somebody, even if Rolo has departed. You're talking about Portis losing minutes there. You're talking about Wendell Carter Jr. losing minutes in that front court. And you're talking about maybe asking Markkanen to make a shift earlier than he's ready to, as far as playing more minutes at the five than at the four. I don't like it.
The only thing that would come out of this is that, okay, then maybe Chandler Hutchison gets an opportunity here and receives more minutes in his rookie year than maybe we anticipate this season.
Wouldn't be opposed to that.
The other thing I wanted to touch on this really quickly, because we haven't brought his name up in particularly, what do you expect from Cameron Payne? Like, what's your goal for Cameron Payne this year? Like, realistic, all jokes aside, all dancing jokes aside, like,
I didn't agree to that.
What's the realistic expectation you have for Cameron Payne this year? Because I remember a couple months back when we were talking about him and we were like reviewing every player on the Bulls roster from the 2017-2018 season, we said there was stretches where Cameron Payne didn't actually look that bad.
No.
In March. And I'm looking at his numbers right now, 25 games, another guy who's only played 25 games last season and we didn't really get to see a full healthy year from him. 38.5% from three, shot 40.5% overall, so he didn't take that many shots overall compared to his threes, but he did average almost five assists a game in only 23 minutes. So he might have a little bit of value as a passing guy and a guy that can knock down the three, at least with a little bit of reliability. So what's your realistic expectations? Because if he doesn't turn out to be anything, he could be gone after next season.
It's still crazy to go back to that trade with OKC, and I still think that the Bulls got fleeced in that trade, but at least at certain times last season, as you mentioned, we saw glimpses of maybe Campaign being a useful backup guard. And he certainly proved himself to be more useful than Jaren Grant, who the Bulls, you know, waved bye-bye to. And that's not a hard test. Jaren Grant was, you know, driving Bulls fans crazy, watching that guy dribble for 20 of the 24 seconds of a shot clock and then either take a bad shot himself or force it to a teammate who was covered and didn't have a good shot. Cam Payne, to his credit, I mean, you mentioned his assist numbers as a guy who at some times was coming off the bench and at some times because of injuries, you know, got some spot starts here and there. He looked like not only a guy who was competent behind the three-point line, as you just mentioned, but a guy who was much better than Jaren Grant at finding looks for his teammates. He's also a pretty crafty guy when he's breaking down defenses off the dribble. He's very adept at finding little, you know, nooks and crannies to dribble around the trees in the paint and find dump-off passes to guys, find kick-out passes to guys, and even also at times find little spaces and little lanes to take little floaters or, you know, make somewhat acrobatic finishes with layups and using the glass. I saw all of that from campaign last season. So, yeah, I think he can be an adequate point guard for this Bulls team coming into this season. I wouldn't call him one of the better backup point guards in the league by any stretch, but based on what he was when he first arrived, which was nothing more than the butt end of a joke, versus what we saw from him last season, I'm okay with him being our backup point guard. But back to, you know, Tiago's thing to wrap up, if he's playing more than 28 minutes a night, that's not good, because it means that something's up with Chris Dunn.
You're going to see Cameron Payne. You're probably going to see Ryan Arcidiacono. And if Derek Walton Jr. makes this team too, you might see a little bit of him as well. So I think Cameron Payne, it was unfortunate that he broke his foot, like coming right into training camp last year, and wasn't able to have a full healthy season again. But yeah, just looking at his numbers in March, like he had a double-double in one game against Cleveland, 13-10. There are a few things in here I think we can find positivity as far as Cameron Payne goes. And like I said before, he's got to really prove something, like we've said with all of these guys on this Bulls roster. But you look at this case, Cameron Payne's only going to be, is only on a one-year deal. After this season, he can walk if they want, if the Bulls want to part ways with him. So he definitely has something to prove this year too, and I think he definitely knows that. Like you said, if he can be a reliable three-point shooting guard, as well as a guy that can pass and put up 6, 7, 8 assists in 20 minutes of play, that might not be too bad for this team in that second unit.
I would be shocked if he's averaging 8 assists a game as our backup point guard. But if it can be 5 or 6, with also chipping in 12, 13, 14 points a night, you know, that's fine. From your backup point guard, who, and that's something that, you know, we've touched on, is with that second unit, you're probably going to see Bobby Portis taking a chunk of that offense. You're going to hopefully see Wendell Carter Jr. before he hopefully moves to the starting lineup, be a focal point of that second unit's offense. And then whatever it is that they get from, you know, who it is at the wing, Hutchison, Denzel, and Holiday, Campaign can find his opportunities and his looks to score as a shoot first point guard. He can also find ways to get his teammates involved.
We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're finishing up. We've got one more voicemail to get to before we get out of here for the day. Bowling with Bobby Portis. Get your tickets at eventbrite.com. Search Locked On Bulls or Bowling with Bobby. You can get us on our Facebook page too, or on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Back here at Locked On Bulls, Matt Peck and Jordan Malley with one more topic for you on today's episode. Before we get to that, just another reminder that you can start getting some great fantasy football content at our network, the Locked On Podcast Network. It is crunch time for fantasy football. I've done 2 drafts. I got 2 more coming. Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantages for your roster. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you an added edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league this season.
Hey guys, I'm a fairly new listener here, listening for about a month, and I really like the show. It gets my Bulls fix in every day over the week. But one thing I wanted to say about the Zach LaVine signing is that everybody's kind of mad about the Bulls paying him too much, but what we see so commonly, not only in basketball, but in professional sports, is pros getting paid for what they did in the past and not what they're going to do in the future. So you see a lot of guys getting, or a lot of veterans getting big contracts for what they did in the past, even if they're regressing. But for Zach LaVine, I think it's the opposite. You know, he's on the incline. He's getting better and better, and the Bulls are paying him for what he's going to do. I don't think we've really ever seen that, and I don't think the Bulls – or I think, you know, the front office is not really giving credit, or they're being knocked for that, and I think it's a little unfair. You know, maybe everybody should try looking at it at the signing with that perspective. All right, thanks, guys. Go Bulls.
All right, thanks for the voicemail. Once again, you can hit us up, 331-979-1369. So an interesting question. This is more so in line with contracts and the actual numbers behind what LaVine was paid this summer. And compared to sort of the growing trend of paying guys for their future production rather than their past production. And we've kind of seen that this year. You know, with the cap leveling off a little bit, you see teams a little bit more skeptical about giving guys multiple years and max amount of money. They're more willing to pay younger players, even if they aren't maybe at the level that some of these veterans are and can be productive this year. Teams are willing to invest, I think, in younger players than they are in veterans that can help them out right now. And you're seeing that. Guys that are 28, 29, 30 years old aren't getting paid the same that they were maybe 10, 15 years ago. And it's more so going to guys relying on hoping what they can do for your future. You look at Devin Booker, who just signed 5 years max extension. You look at Nikola Jokic with the Denver Nuggets. He just signed a max extension for 4 years. So you look at all of that, and you're right. I think this caller's spot on about Zach LaVine and his contract. $19.5 million in 2 years. It's going to look like a pretty damn good contract if LaVine can hold up his end of the bargain and actually score and actually be a vital role on this team.
That's, you know, so the back end of your statement there is if LaVine turns into the player that we all hope he can be. And I'm not saying that there is a 0% chance that that happens. I think there is a decent chance that LaVine turns into a much better player than the one we saw for a short stint last season, which is why I was okay with the Bulls matching that offer from Sacramento. I didn't love it, but I wasn't saying you guys are stupid to be doing this. Take a chance on a guy who's still very young and looked, even last season, like he was completely recovered from that ACL tear, as I'm knocking on wood right now. And the point is, especially when you compare it to some of the signings of the Bulls in the past, this Bulls front office in the past, and comparing it to the way that some other NBA offices and other professional leagues across the country operate as far as paying guys for what have you done. This is a paycheck where we are rewarding your excellence of the past versus we are rewarding you and motivating you to earn this contract by turning into a player that's better than the player you are right now today as you sit here and sign on the dotted line. And that is absolutely the situation with Zach LaVine. And there's a mixed bag of results when the Bulls have done it the other way. When you talk about paying a guy who is probably a little bit past his prime, if not definitely on the decline, who has a big name, all-star seasons in his rearview mirror, and probably is worth not as much as they throw at him. And I'm talking about guys like Ben Wallace when the Bulls signed him. I'm talking about Carlos Boozer when they swung and missed on all of the big three in the summer of 2010. Boozer was still a quality guy for this Bulls team. He was a 15-10 guy for the most part. Didn't play any resemblance of defense, but offensively, Boozer gave you something, but he certainly wasn't worth as much as the Bulls gave him on that contract. That was you used to be an all-star kind of contract. Pau Gasol, who in his own right, and respect to Pau, was a double-double machine when he was here for a couple years, even made an all-star team as a member of the Bulls, but was still old and in his decline, and the Bulls gave him a lot of money because he was a big name with championship pedigree and all-star appearances in his past. And then, of course, the most recent example, Dwayne friggin' Wade. We're going to give you this ridiculous two-year contract that you are clearly not worth as a player anymore, but we're giving it to you because your name is Dwayne Wade. and you have this amazing pedigree. You're a future first ballot Hall of Famer, hands down. Here's a big pile of money. Zach LaVine is the opposite. Zach LaVine is hoping that the money that they're paying now turns into a contract that looks great from the team and the front office's perspective. And I can at least respect that optimistic line of thinking.
Yeah, like you had said, you brought up all those previous examples. To me, this is a step in the right direction, a change in the right direction for this front office. And if anything, if you take anything away from this, this is causing good faith with players, right? Like, I know they told Zach LaVine, go out and find an offer, and a lot of teams do that with their players, and they still had restricted free agency on him, and they said, hey, if you find an offer that you like better than the one that we're giving you right now in front of you, that's fine. We're most likely going to re-sign you, and they did that. So I think it's good to do that with players. It causes good relationships with the front office and with the players, saying that we're willing to invest in you. And to me, that looks good for other players. If Zach LaVine's here for four years and he's willing to recruit, he's like, yeah, they took care of me. They took care of me when I was coming off an ACL and I only played 25 games. I didn't really prove anything to them. And they still paid me and had the faith in me. So I think it's a good player relationship, a front office relationship move, if anything else. And you're right. Like, look around the league, too. A lot of teams have cared about their first round and second round picks more than they ever have before. And that goes to tell me that a lot of teams are looking at what Golden State was able to do. And while they had a lot of help from the cap boost to allow them to sign Kevin Durant, they still, homegrown talent, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all of those guys were drafted and developed by the Warriors. So I think a lot of teams now in the modern NBA are shifting their focus to younger players under cost control and guys that they can keep around with the prime kind of moving. Like, the prime age of an NBA player, I feel like, is sort of shifting now and kind of opening up. Like, you're seeing guys start to pop off at 23, 24 years old instead of that prime 3 to 4 years where it was 26 to 30 is where you're going to see a prime for this player.
Well,
and I think a lot of teams are looking at that.
Individually, yeah, I would agree with that. But when it comes to teams that are assembled from a roster, standpoint, that are perennial championship contenders, those are veteran teams. The NBA is not a league in which young, inexperienced teams win championships. The Warriors first in 2015, most of those players had already been around for a while. The Heat team, old. The Spurs team, the one in 2014, old. The Rockets team, old. Like, James Harden, yeah, still in his prime. CP3, Trevor Ariza, you know, talk about some of the other role players on those. David West, who just retired today, key piece of a championship Warriors team. Yes, there is a shift in how you define the prime years, quote unquote, of an NBA player. And it is certainly trending towards younger and investing a lot of money in those younger players. But heck, look at what the Rockets just signed to Chris Paul this summer. That contract is ridiculous for a guy Chris Paul's age. There is still plenty of money in this league for people to throw at proven veteran players. Yes, we are starting to see some young players sign these ludicrous contracts. And the big thing that the Bulls have to kind of keep an eye on in the distance is with all of these rebuilding pieces, they got Zach LaVine locked up for 4 years now. They still have a couple more years of team control for Chris Dunn. Jabari's a one-year experiment. Lauri Markkanen. When Lauri Markkanen's turn comes up, what kind of money are the Bulls going to throw at him to keep him here? That's a headache for another day, but when you're talking about what is the definition of prime and what teams need to do to pay to keep those guys that they have invested in since their rookie seasons and bringing them out of the draft, that's going to be a big one for the Bulls front office to answer.
Sure will. So I think to answer this question, it goes back to, yes, I do believe that this contract is a value contract. Like, it might not prove itself this year, and to me, it doesn't necessarily have to. Like, Zach LaVine, to me, this season,
it's not like the Bulls are going to be contending this year anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think Zach LaVine necessarily needs to prove that he's worth all $78 million this season. Like, he's going to be under a ton of pressure, and I get that. but it doesn't need to be proved all in one season. He's got 4 years to prove his worth as far as his contract goes. And if you're asking me 2 years or 3 years down the line, when Zach LaVine could potentially be in the middle of his prime and you're only paying him $19.5 million, like, that's good value. So this is good. This is a solid voicemail. And guys are starting to trend to get paid for what they're going to do in the future rather than what they're going to do in the past. And then you have to look at it, too, from the opposite side. It could not work out. Look at the Timberwolves. They paid Andrew Wiggins all of that money, and it doesn't look like it's working out necessarily the way that they wanted to originally.
No, that's a disgusting contract. And there are a handful of them. Most of the ones that were signed in the summer of 2016 are teams are almost out of the woods on those or close to it, and people are being, you know, waived and stretched. I think I just saw a notification on my phone a little bit ago that the Thunder just did that with Kyle Singler and saved themselves like $24 million. But the Bulls are, you're right, at least not in the uncomfortable position of having a contract on their books like the one that the Wolves have with Wiggins. And LaVine, you're right, it could go either way. And I am stuck right in the middle on my optimism or pessimism as far as whether or not LaVine will prove himself to be worthy of that contract, especially in the back 2 years of it, when it could really look like a team-friendly deal for a guy who was really good and making his team closer to a competing team in the Eastern Conference and going to the playoffs. I hope that that is the way that that contract turns out, and it's fair to be optimistic about it, because I'd rather that than paying an old guy who's past his prime on a team that's going nowhere.
Thanks for the voicemail again. You can always hit us up, 331-979-1369. You can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, too, at Locked On Bulls. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail line, every single week we do mailbag, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode to drive you into the weekend. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.